We're doing the Navi Yeshaya. We're up to what's called the 31st chapter, the 9th Pasuk, Lamed Aleph Tet. The Navi had described that Am Yisrael will do tshuva. He described how the northern 10 tribes would be exiled. Judea, Yehuda, would be encompassed by the Assyrian Empire. They will do tshuva, as we saw in Pasuk Zayin, Yimasun Ish Elilei Chaspo. On that day, people will scorn their idols and they will do tshuva, and then the Assyrian Empire will suddenly fall. That's where we left off. Pasuk Chet, V'nafal Ashur b'cherev lo ish. The Assyrian Empire will fall by a sword that is not human. And Hashem will attack. As we know, a plague hit them in one night. Most of their soldiers dropped dead. And Pasuk Tet, V'sal'o mimago ya'avo. Sal'o might be like the Sela is a huge boulder. It's a boulder that is so big that you can assume it's been there from the time of creation. So it's a huge rock. And often we speak about strength, we call it Tsur. Hashem Tsuri v'goali. Tsur means a rock, and Tsur could mean the source of strength. So over here also, Sela means a huge rock, v'sal'o, and the great strength of the Assyrian Empire, mimagol yavo. Out of fear, their strength will pass. Here they came, this great empire. They took down Cush, they took down tribes of northern Africa, they took down Egypt, and then they come to the gates of Jerusalem, and their soldiers are dropping like flies, and they have no explanation. They realize Hashem has come out to fight them, and so the soldiers flee, and Sanherib himself will come back to Ashur and pray before his god and say, his pagan god, right? I know you must be upset at me because I didn't offer my sons to you. I will slaughter my son in your honor. That's how everyone is shaken. So Sal'o, even the rock, the strength of the Assyrian Empire, Mimagor, out of fear, Ya'avor, will pass. Their strength will pass. V'chatu mines sarav, and his leaders, his nobles, will be broken down. They will tremble in fear because of the great miracle Hashem will do. Ne'um Adonai, so has declared Hashem, Asher ulo b'tzion, Hashem who has the burning flame in Zion. So to speak, his fire is ready for them. When they come, Hashem is ready to take them down. V'tanulo birushalayim. Hashem has prepared his oven, so to speak. He's heating it up, getting ready for the Assyrians to come to take them down. Hein letzedek yimloch melech ulsarim lemishpat yasoru. Hein letzedek. In truth, the only reason why Yimloch Melech, why a king should take the throne, is Litzedek, to bring back justice. The whole purpose of a king's being king, of his having power, is Litzedek, to bring justice to the world. Ulisarim lemishpat yasoru. And why is it that nobles have responsibility? Lemishpat, so that they bring justice to the world. What's the Navi referring to? He's referring to the future, where Chizkiyahu will take the throne and reinstate justice. But Chizkiyahu was the son of Ahaz ben Yosa. The Navi is prophesizing in the days of Ahaz. The Navi is foreshadowing, he's foretelling what's yet to come. At that juncture where the Navi is speaking, the king, Ahaz ben Yotam, has closed all the shuls. He has looked for every Sefer Torah, and he's tried in every way to ensure that the children would not be connected to the Ribbono Shel Olam. It's interesting how his own son, Chizkiyahu, was such a pious person. But Ahaz was given the nickname Ahaz because he grasped the doors of the shuls and held them closed so that children wouldn't be able to come learn Torah. In ancient times, even in the days of the Gemara, the children used to learn in the shuls. The Talmud tells us that the bells on the Sefer Torah are there because when they take the Sefer Torah, on their way to shul, the bells would ring, the children would hear it, and they'd know that it was time to go learn Torah. So that the children used to learn in the shul. The adults learned in a Beit Midrash, the children learned in a shul. So in the period of Ahaz, when things were corrupt, things were not being run properly, the Navi is prophesizing, the king that's yet to come, he will take up his responsibility, which is to bring back tzedek, to bring back justice. V'haya ish kemachavei ruach v'seiter zarim. V'haya ish, this man will be on behalf of Israel, kemachavei ruach, just as a place where you could hide in the face of a sandstorm. Sometimes when there's a great wind, you look for coverage. So machavei ruach means a hiding place where you hide from great winds, a tornado. They say get into a bath. Right? I read a very scary account of a couple that there was a tornado in their town and they climbed into a bath. And at one point, one of the spouses felt the other one being whisked off out of the bath and thrown out. They landed alive on a tree. It was a twister that hit some town in Texas. And they knew to climb into the bathtub because the bathtub is cemented into the house and they could hear the whole house being thrown all over, all around them. So sometimes you need coverage from a strong wind. So in ancient times, they would look for a huge boulder, a huge rock to crawl under where the wind couldn't catch them. That's called machavei ruach, a place where you hide from the wind. V'seiter zarem, a place where you could take coverage from a deluge, from a great flow of water. So this man is going to be the coverage from great winds and great floods. This man is the king that's about to come to the scene, Chizkiyahu. When you have a righteous king, so then people take coverage in him. Kifal gimayim b'tzayon, kitzel sela kaved, be'eretz ayefa. Kifal gemaim, just as people enjoy waters that come out bitzayon, in arid dry land, kitzel sela kaved, just as people enjoy good shade from a large rock, be'eretz ayefa, on parched land that's yearning for a break from the beating sun. So this man will give coverage from the wind, from the water, from the sun. Velo tishena eine ro'im. And until now, people were blinded. We saw earlier in the Navi, einav hasha. The Navi had described as though their eyes were removed. They can't see, the Navi says. I'm warning them of the coming dangers, and they're incapable of seeing what I'm warning them of. I'm speaking to them, and they're incapable of hearing, incapable of listening. So, v'lo tish'ena einei ro'im, the eyes of the onlookers will not be sealed shut. V'oznei shome'im tikshavna, and the ears of the listeners will actually hear. They'll take note. He says, right now, the leadership is leading them in a way that they're not capable of seeing, they're not capable of hearing the imminent danger. Ulevav nimarim yavin ladat. Right now, their hearts are not capable of understanding. But then, levav nimharim, the word nimhar comes from the word, what does it sound like? Maher. What else does it sound like? Nahar. The word nahar and maher, according to many Rishonim, is the same root. Being that a river is something that has a constant flow, so that's why a nahar is like the word maher, it's swift and it's flowing. So, ulevav nimarim, the hearts of the people who their hearts are right now constantly fluttering to and fro, and they're not sure what to think, they're not settled in their thoughts. Levav nimhar could mean a swift heart. It can mean a heart that's confused, that's constantly changing its mind. Then yavin ladat, at the time of Chizkiyahu, they will have settled. They will be able to understand. Ulishoni legim, and the tongue, that hitherto could not be understood, will be able to speak smoothly and clearly. When people are confused, they're not sure what to say. I remember when there was Oslo going on. People were confused. People didn't know what to think. Bombs were exploding all over. At one point, I remember a bomb exploded that had five bombs in it. And the media didn't want to discuss it. What they did was they had a bomb which would scatter other bombs throughout the shuk in Yerushalayim. You had rooftops where they were collecting bombs off the rooftops. People didn't know what to think. The leadership kept saying, this is peace, this is part of the peace process, we're headed towards peace. The facts on the ground were people were dying right and left. You had buses exploding. You had a terrible situation here. Every day you had funerals. You didn't have a week that you didn't have suicide bombers, people being killed. I remember people would get on the bus and draw a knife and start stabbing people. The situation here, and people didn't know what to think. People were so confused because the leadership kept saying this is part of a peace process. And the facts on the ground were the exact opposite. So you want to think that something makes sense. And you look at it and say, it doesn't make any sense. People were confused. People kept saying this is wrong, but people were confused. So when you have leadership giving a clear direction and a logical direction, and people can connect it, they understand it, so then you have what we see here. People can understand, people can hear, people can perceive, people can speak. When the leadership is giving confused messages, as was the case in the days of Ahaz ben Yotam, don't listen to the Torah. Don't listen to the prophets. Everything's going to be okay. But what do you mean everything's going to be okay? We're dwindling, we're losing, everything's going to be okay. And they constantly saw how the Assyrian Empire was taking away tribe by tribe. Slowly, the Jewish people were being decimated. The worst Holocaust in Jewish history was on the threshold. And a year or two later, it happened. Over a million Jews, you had probably 10 or 15 million Jews that were killed and exiled and taken into slavery. All the northern 10 tribes. So here the leadership saying, no, everything's okay. Keep going the pagan ways. The people were confused. And when the prophets tried talking to them, for every prophet that spoke in Hashem's name, you had 100 prophets speaking in the names of idols. And they were very convincing. So people were confused. And when the Navi spoke, they couldn't listen. So the Navi says, there will come a time, and it's around the corner, when Chizkiyahu will be born. He will bring clarity to the world. People will suddenly be able to listen. They'll be able to see. They'll be able to understand. Lo yikarei od linaval nadiv. And in those times, the truth will reign. One of the difficulties is when wicked people are called pious. When people who are terrible are given honors. At that time, lo yikarei od. There will no longer be that sycophancy where people are trying to sweet talk the leadership that are so corrupt. They will no longer call the naval, the man who is really unworthy and shameful, they will no longer call him a nadiv. What a philanthropist. Ulchilai lo yayamir shoah. And people will stop looking at the person who is a miser and say, what a nice philanthropist he is. Very often that's what happens. Because the guy has money, everyone says he's giving. That doesn't mean he's really giving. Sometimes he's a big miser, but because people respect his wealth, they speak nicely about him. The Navi says when Chizkiyahu will come to power, money won't talk. You know, in the United States they say money talks. Money won't talk. Truth will talk. We live in what's called the Olam HaSheker, a world where lies reign. And so people are willing to talk nicely about someone because they think they'll get a benefit out of it. So in the days of Ahaz ben Yotam, when there's no faith to Torah, so then what's going to rule? Money's going to rule. Power's going to rule. So if he has power, you say he's a nice guy, but maybe he's not a nice guy. Lo yikarei od linaval nadiv. The Navi says, in the days of Chizkiyahu, people will have clarity. They will no longer sweet talk the leadership. Ki naval nevala yedaber. Because people who are unworthy, they constantly say unworthy things. Vilibo yase aven, and their thoughts are also constantly sinful. La sot chonef, because what they're thinking of is how can I bribe the next person? Uldaber el Adonai toa leharik nefesh ra'ev u'mashkei tzameh yasir. Their interest is, so to speak, how can I fool Hashem? I'm not only interested in fooling everyone around me. I want to fool Hashem. I want Hashem to think I'm a tzaddik too. And very often people fall into that trap. We have examples of that in our own generation, right? Leharik nefesh ra'ev. All the while, he's taking food from the hungry and drink from the thirsty. He's stealing from the poor, but, as the Navi said, Uldaber el Hashem toha. But he tries to speak to Hashem in a misleading way. Hashem, look at what a tzaddik I am. And he's trying to convince Hashem. Okay, we'll pick up here. The next pasuk. We have to spend some time on. Next week, Be'ezrat Hashem, we'll pick up with Pasuk Zayin, and we'll also take a few minutes to learn the Medrash on Pasuk Zayin. So we'll pause here right now.